The history of bartering dates all the way back to 6000 BC. So this is a very ancient, very outdated concept because, like, currency is a thing, right? We have money. We have dollar bills. And there's a way for us to exchange our work for currency, which we can then use to fund and purchase other things, not just the thing that is being bartered to us. So this idea in general, like, that is like the root of bartering. And it's been pulled into the online and business space where it's like, if you're just getting started, go find someone who wants what you do. Again, it's like this whole testimonial thing, right? It's like, oh, to get exposure, to get testimonials, to get experience. But what if you got experience while you got paid? Why is that not a thing? Welcome to Making Website Magic, where we empower women to step boldly into their web design businesses, follow their intuition, and claim the success they're worthy of. I'm Sam Munoz.
And I'm Karen Page. We're the tech wizards behind Sam Munoz Consulting and the Making Website Magic School of Business. We're two women here to talk about what it actually takes to run a web design business that's aligned with your vision.
Spoiler alert, it probably isn't what you think it is. Ready to hear about everything from refining your business vision, networking with intention, and creating a magical client experience?
Let's do it.
Karen, I am coming to you hot and bothered about this episode topic. And I know we are both feeling very jazzed to talk about why bartering isn't the answer. So how are you today?
I'm actually really adrenalized because I'm excited to talk about this, but in thinking about it, I didn't realize how passionate I am on this subject. So I have a lot of things I want to talk about today.
Yes, and I want to get into all of it, and I cannot wait. Before we do, let's go ahead and read one of our awesome reviews that has been left on the Making Website Magic podcast. Thank you all again for leaving these reviews, letting us know how the podcast is impacting you, and just your feelings about the topics. So this one says, "So real. Sam and Karen say the things I needed to hear years ago. I hope many new business owners and web designers find this podcast because it will skip over a huge learning curve and save so much time," which is awesome. I'm so glad that that is a feeling that's being received and experienced from the podcast. We're also talking about a lot of like controversial things I've noticed lately. And so it's really cool to be just getting deeper into these topics and kind of going against the grain. So thank you for that review. And if you haven't left a review yet for the podcast, we would super, super appreciate it. If you go to makingwebsitemagic.com, you can see all the info about all the different places you can subscribe and leave reviews for the podcast. So thank you. Now, let's talk about why bartering is not the answer to growth in your web design business. And we should probably start with, like, what is bartering in the first place?
Yeah. Do we want to take it to the dictionary?
Let's do it. According to Merriam-Webster, the definition of barter is to trade by exchanging one commodity for another, or to trade goods or services in exchange for other goods or services, which is basically how we have experienced it in the online world. And a lot of us are probably really aware of that idea. So basically, you build a website for someone in exchange for their service or their product.
Yes. And this is very commonly pushed in the online space industry community.
People say this all the time, right? They're like, oh, you don't have a client yet, or like struggling in between clients, like just go barter your services, find someone else and you do websites for them. They give you their service. The worst is where it's just like, they don't even give you a service. They just give you a testimonial or you get exposure. Like, don't even get me started on the whole exposure BS, because that's just ridiculous. And that's another form of bartering, right? It's like, I do a website for you and you like shout me out. What?
Yeah. Okay. So where did this whole thing like come from though? Because I feel like it was something that was already in motion by the time I got in this space. How did we get here?
So I'm looking at this article by Intuit, you know, the company that hosts and owns QuickBooks and all those things. And they say here that the history of bartering dates all the way back to 6000 BC. So this is a very ancient, very outdated concept because like currency is a thing, right? We have money, we have dollar bills, and there's a way for us to exchange our work for currency, which we can then use to fund and purchase other things, not just the thing that is being bartered to us. So this idea in general, like that is like the root of bartering, and it's been pulled into the online and business space where it's like, if you're just getting started, go find someone who wants what you do. Again, it's like this whole testimonial thing, right? It's like, oh, to get exposure, to get testimonials, to get experience. But what if you got experience while you got paid? Why is that not a thing? And so I think like it's just kind of peddled all over the online world. And I'm no historian, but like that's kind of where it's come from, right? It's like you're getting started, you're getting your feet wet and you're beginning in your business. Or again, like you're in between clients and like this is quote unquote just what you do.
Okay, so to think about the historical perspective, which, hello, I am a history nerd. I love this stuff, right? Like what kind of comes up for me, like again, before we had currency or whatever, it was like you would go to the next farm over or whatever, and you're like, your neighbor has a pig and you have a bushel of apples. And so you exchange what you have for what they have. And that works for everybody because you need some fiber and I need some protein. Boom.
Which, hello, that's like, that is the key there, is that both people needed it.
Then there's that, right? So that's point number one, is like, we're bartering for things that we both needed and we didn't have. You had it, I didn't, let's exchange, right? And it felt very equitable in that regard. I'm going to put something out here. Like, I feel like there's this new space that we're in with millennials and maybe like even some Gen Xers where it's like, money is bad, man. Like, let's just barter like other stuff that we need. And like, it's all good, whatever, like that whole mentality. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I grew up in the Bay Area, California. And so every year there would be a certain like community of folks who would go to Burning Man, which is this huge festival. It's basically the size of a metropolitan city at this point. And there's no money there. You exchange everything that you need. The only thing that you use legal tender for is to buy like coffee and ice, right? And everything else is exchanged and bartered. And it's this whole idea of like utopia. And I think what ended up happening is like the tens of thousands of people who would go there every year started to bring that back into like regular life. So like, you know, people from San Francisco and people from like Williamsburg and New York and like all these hipster folks started being like, yeah, it is like this form of utopia where we exchange stuff and we don't use money because that's better, right? And so then I think that actually, because there's a huge tech element of people who go to Burning Man, right? Like there's a huge, I'm kind of going into the weeds here, but this is a theory that I have. So all the like tech folks were like, yeah, we did this whole cool bartering thing at Burning Man. Let's bring that back into the work that we do in the online space. This is a theory, has not been proven. This is only based on my observations. But I think that's how in the modern era, like we're now like bartering with stuff.
New segment of the podcast, Karen Conspiracy Theories. I like it. I'm here for it.
Sorry.
I mean, I love that because you know what? It's again, it's this idea that like the reason that I think this topic is so interesting is because we both abhorrently disagree with the idea of bartering. And so just thinking about it in like the historical context and how it really doesn't even align with like the business models that we're perpetuating. Because we were talking about goods, right? We were talking about like, here is a cow for this hay. Now we're talking about services, which also includes time and energy and like all sorts of other aspects as well. So it's fascinating to think about why are we doing this in the first place? And certainly a lot of us are doing it in our day-to-day businesses because it's something that we've been told and we've heard like, this is the way you do it, right? Which is like a theme of this podcast is, what if we just stop listening to all those things that we quote unquote should do and just do the things that feel natural and feel right? I also think that there's another level to this as women. I think women are particularly prone to bartering for many reasons, one of which is that we maybe don't think that we're good enough to get paid for the services that we offer. And so we kind of start there. We say, oh, once I like get my feet wet and like I start doing some work for someone and I barter for this and I get that exposure, that testimonial, that's what I need to actually get paid, which is complete and utter BS. You do not need that in order to get paid for your work.
Yeah, like it's the downplaying for me, dog, as the kids say on TikTok. This idea that like my work's not good enough, so let me still do it, but not get anything in return for it. That's not equitable at all, right? Like if you can do the thing, you should be paid for the thing because we are now in this era where it's about currency, right? So get the currency that you need for the bills, for, you know, all of the things, et cetera. But it's the downplaying.
Yeah.
That's part of the, I'm not good enough. How am I going to get good enough if I don't give it away for free or, you know, give it away for something that I don't need?
Exactly. And I do think that I am not saying that this is how it actually is, but I know that this there's like this weird feeling, like weird icky feeling about like charging for what you do. It's like, ooh, I don't want to talk about money, or I don't want to like actually get paid for this. And we talked about this before, like, I just want to help people. I just want to like help people build websites. I'm like good at it. I like maybe don't want to charge for it. And that's fine. But like if you are like, I'm a business owner, right? So like if you're someone that's like, I do websites on the side, it's a hobby of mine. I don't want to charge for it. I just want to help people. I am not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But if you are saying that you're a business owner and that you're running a business and your goal here is to bring income into a business and income into your family, income into, you know, creating revenue and creating a legacy, you can't barter if you are wanting to do that. It is not sustainable for your business. And we're going to talk about why bartering is problematic, but like this idea of like, I just want to help people. There are ways to help people and still get paid. There is nothing wrong for getting paid for what you do. I'm like shaking with like frustration.
The I just want to help people idea is real for women, especially women who are very like heart-centered and who have hearts of service and want to help people, right? It can sometimes feel like a disconnect to be like, I just helped you. I feel great about that. Now give me money for it. There can be a clear like disconnect in that, right? But you also have to think about like, okay, well, you're running a business. So back to your point of, if you want to do the helping, but you don't want to run a business, that's one piece. But if you want to run a business and help people, then you should be getting paid for the work that you do and the time that you do and the effort and the results.
Yes. And if there's nothing wrong with it, it's not evil to get paid for your work. You're loving yourself. That's how I see it, right? Like you can't just like constantly be like giving and like outputting. And there is value in like, I'm not saying that, definitely not saying, and I think we've discussed this plenty of times on the podcast, like money is not the end all be all of your existence and certainly not reflective of your worth, but getting paid for what you do is okay. You have permission to get paid for what you do and to value that appropriately and to say, you know what, I'm not going to barter for something that is not of equal value because it's not fair.
Part of the reason why I'm so passionate about why bartering is problematic is because as a Black woman, I understand that bartering is basically rooted in free labor. It's rooted in getting something for free. And I've spoken on this before that as a woman of color, as a Black woman, I am not in the business of giving away my labor for free because I know that that is literally rooted in like free slave labor of Black people. That's another piece of where that comes from, right? So let's be real. So, hey, you know, women of color, let's not barter for our services. Let's get paid for our services because we're trying to build legacy. We're trying to close the wealth gap from 400 years of doing labor for free. And I've gotten pushback from it, you know, from people who are like, well, you know, I've done bartering in my life and it was really great. Like I made some great relationships with it. And I'm like, those people who responded that way were not people of color. And so I'm like, but what I'm trying to say to you is in the 21st century, I'm not giving away my work for free. I'm not giving away my work for something that cannot help me and my family create and establish like legacies of generational wealth when you already have it. It's kind of a fun thing for you to do this exchange. You know, I'm like, I got bills. I have a mortgage. I want to leave something in my will for my nieces and nephews. Like, I can't do that if I'm bartering with you for something that I don't even actually need.
Wow. There's a lot of like white women, white men suggesting and recommending bartering as an option. And so I feel like inherently in that too.
Yeah, I'm like, that's cute and great for you because it's highly likely that your generational wealth and your legacy is already established. And that's actually why maybe you're in the position where you can barter because it's been passed down to you already, right? But like, I'm out here trying to close these gaps and build something that is going to last beyond my lifetime. And bartering is not the way to do that for me. So that's why I feel like bartering is problematic.
Wow. And you know, like it's bartering is, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Privilege.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yes. Like based on your socioeconomic status, bartering might not even be available to you. So when you're hearing this advice of like, oh, go barter for your services, like you said, if it's something that you don't need, which most likely it's not for your business, like if you can build websites, like that's the thing that most people need. That's like the thing that most people actually truly need for their business is a website. And if you're bartering for something that's like a luxury to have, I'd rather have the money.
I'd rather have the money. And the other piece of it too is like when you actually look at like the two things that are being exchanged in the barter, Most times they're not really like equitable, right? Like you said, like if you're giving a website, the person needs that website for their own business. They need that website. But what are they giving you in exchange? Is it something that you actually need?
I'm not saying that there's not like other needs in business, but what I am saying is that if we're thinking from like a business perspective, I really can't think of another thing that would be required except for maybe a contract. Like that's the only thing that I think you could, I'm not saying that anyone should barter. What I'm saying is like, that's the only thing that I think could potentially be like legal support, could potentially be an equitable exchange. But even that, like, why not just pay someone and then get paid? Why not like give $1,000 and get $1,000? You guys, I do this with people all the time. Like we laugh about it. Like, oh, we're just passing money back and forth. I'd much rather pass money back and forth than tell someone I'm going to just like do this for them in exchange. I had one friend that we did an exchange and it worked out just fine. But like that was my one situation doing a bartering. And even that, I still like, I kind of think back to it and I'm like, was it fair for her? Was it fair for me? Like where, cause I don't think it's possible unless it's like you're building me a website and I'm building you a website. Like I don't think it's possible to be equitable exactly, which means that someone's always going to lose.
Yes. And what is that thing that is being lost? Is it time? Is it money? That's another piece that I find very challenging with bartering is like, okay, if I build you this website and it takes like maybe working together for a month or like 6 weeks or 12 weeks, that's like 3 months maybe of my time that we're working together. And what did you give me in exchange? Goodness forbid, it's like somebody gave you, I don't know, like yoga classes or something. It's like, do you even do yoga? Or like, I can do this in my home. I don't need to leave the comfort of my home in order to give you what you need. But maybe in exchange, you're giving me something where I need to get in my car, drive to go receive it, be there in person, do all of these things. Like that in and of itself is not equitable because in order for me to get what you're giving me, I have to go put in all this time and this effort and use gas money or whatever to get it.
Wow. Yeah.
I often think too sometimes about like, let's think about who's initiating the idea that this is something we should be bartering. Is it you saying, hey, I'll give you a website if you give me brand photos and so on, right? So it's like therein lies the inequity of the barter. If I can do this thing in the comfort of my home with yoga pants, but in order for me to collect on what you're going to give me, I got to go out and I got to do all this other stuff to make it happen, right?
I even think like beyond it being unequal, I think that there is less intention, less effort and energy that's put into bartered services. Like think about it. If you've ever bartered for something, again, which is where you're exchanging your web design, web development, tech support work in exchange for someone like doing something for you, are you putting the same commitment in that you would put in with another client? Are you sticking to timelines? Are you making sure that that person is giving you what you need in a timely fashion? Karen, to your point about this idea of like, this could be like a 3 month time investment. Like, is this person honoring the fact that like they, you need stuff so that you can get it done? Like, what happens if a client comes in that actually wants to pay you money? Does that client now get precedent over the bartered work? I mean, presumably, right? Because they're going to pay you. Are you doing contracts? Like, are both people putting in like that same level of service when they're not actually being paid for the work? Again, like exchange for testimonials and goodwill and a mention or even another service. Like, it's not good enough. It's not enough for the work that you're doing and what the time and effort that's going to be required, even if you're not putting in all of the same amount of work and commitment.
Yeah. Like what in your business are you bypassing in order to make this barter happen, right? Because there are checks and balances that we do as business owners to protect ourselves from liability, to protect ourselves from intellectual property theft, like protect our time and our calendars, mm-hmm. right? Like there's all these things that we're doing. And if you're in a bartering, it's almost like those checkpoints go out the window or they're more likely to go out the window because it's like, hey, this is just like an exchange. Like, you know, we're not really tied to this. It's not so serious. Or heaven forbid, like you go into a barter with somebody and the thing that you're supposed to receive is maybe like classes or lessons or like something like that, where it's a continual series of things and they don't show up. Like, oh, can we cancel this? Can we reschedule this? I have a client who's going to pay me, so I don't have time for you anymore, right? Like that's the other piece, is not only like what are you missing in your business from being able to receive like paying clients and paying work, but now you're beholden to this other person who's like clearly has a lack of commitment. And so it's highly likely that they'll bail on you when they go get an opportunity that's going to pay them.
Right. It makes sense because it's a business. Again, this was the whole conversation about like women and maybe our desire to help people. Like that's okay in certain contexts. But when it comes to running a business, like it's about the services and like the revenue, like those numbers are really important and they do matter. And so getting paid for what you do is important. And even thinking about it from a very, very practical, pragmatic standpoint, like income showing up on your revenue is important. Like the income from what could be bartered actually appearing on your taxes, the expense that you're paying to pay for the service that you would have maybe bartered for showing up on your taxes as an expense. And, you know, all of those very logistical real life things, a part of owning a business, like, wouldn't you like to know that you made $5,000 instead of bartering for it?
Yeah. So that's the other piece is like, where's the paper trail? Where are the receipts? Where are the invoices, right? Like, how are you claiming this, declaring this, using this as data for yourself and your business for tracking your own growth? Sometimes I'm very curious about like the people who are bartering, like, do they not care about the paper trail? Like, or let me be more specific. The people who are inviting you to get in a barter dynamic with them, do they not care about a paper trail? Do they not care about this in their own business? Again, another, like, let me put on my Karen's conspiracy theory hat, right? Like, again, like growing up in the Bay Area, California, really like enlightened me to a lot of things because around a lot of artists, a lot of like, you know, people living in like communal spaces and stuff. And there was this thing where like people would barter services for like weed. Like, I'm just going to say it. I had heard some stories about people who would go and like harvest marijuana in these fields, and then they wouldn't have cash. They would get paid in marijuana. So everything they did, it was like, hey, I can't pay you for this thing, but I can give you some weed. You know what I mean? And it's like, you can't declare that on your taxes, sweetie. And also, that's gone once it's consumed. So you have nothing to show for it. So it's like that in and of itself is also a very inequitable thing. But I'm like, don't drag me into your illegal, like non-paper trail having operations for something that I'm going to give you. Like, I don't need the experience that bad.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh, yes. And like the whole thing about experience, like you can get experience in a variety of other ways and you can still get paid for it. And also, I don't know what it was, something you said made me think about like the longevity of what you are creating as a web designer is like years. Like someone could take a website that you created and have that for 10 years. What kind of thing could you be bartered that would be equitable, would be the same amount of time and energy, and would last you in your business for like 10 plus years? Next time you are approached for a bartering situation, definitely consider that.
Sam, that is a huge observation because that in and of itself lets you know where the people are at who are inviting you to barter. It lets you know where they're at in their world because they're not looking 10 years ahead. They're looking for something fast. They're looking for something where maybe it's like, I don't even know if this thing's going to pan out. Like, let's just trade right now. It's this very weird thing. Like, yes, what we have to offer as web designers, like a website, like your digital universe for your business should last you for years and years and years and years to come. Foundations that we are able to set people up with the websites that we build for them. Like you might as well just give somebody a house, basically. Like you can live in that and you can pass that down. And what you're receiving in exchange, is that something that you will still have in 10 years time? Probably not.
Right. That's what it was. That's what made me think about it, was because you said something about one of those was consumable and the other one could last forever. So that's like a way to think about it as well. And honestly, like I think bartering comes up, you know, it comes up, I see it on like Facebook groups. I see leaders encouraging people to like, okay, if you need a service, like post it down here. Or like if you're willing to barter your service, like post it down here and like connect with each other. And like, I am all for collaborations. Collaborations will take you very, very far in your business, but there is no way you need to collaborate for free, even with your friends. I think that there's a tendency to like, I want to help this friend out. She's got something she can offer me and it's great. But like, I gladly pay my friends money and they pay me money. And like, I think I said this already, like we joke about like, oh, we're just sending this $1,000 back and forth. But again, like that $1,000 is showing up on my income and on her income. And like, we feel good because we know that we're like supplying a service for a client. When I get that testimonial, I know I not only got a testimonial, but I also got paid for my time. And I feel like I can more adequately charge and I don't have to feel like, oh, I'm getting the short end of the stick here. It's just like, this is how much it is, and she paid me for it, and there you go. And also, I don't know why I've been thinking about this lately, about this idea that like we arbitrarily, we being you and I, anyone that has builds websites and other people in the online and business space, we arbitrarily choose these prices. And it's really arbitrary in the online space. People slap in a $997 tag on anything. So you're going to tell me that just because you price your course at $997, and I know my website work is worth $5,000. Do you get where I'm trying to go with that?
Yep, I do get where you're trying to go with that.
Because someone could just be like, oh, for this barter, like I'm gonna decide that this course is $4,997. Like, and now it's equal. No, it's not.
Yeah.
There are some like objective truths in value and pricing. There are facts.
There's something that you said about working with friends, right, that really stuck out to me. And it's like, I think about my friends who are in business, and if they have something that interests me, I would love nothing more than to pay them for that. I would love nothing more than to help them keep their business afloat, like do the thing, fulfill your mission. I have some money for you. Let me give it to you, right? Why are we not giving ourselves that grace to be like, the stuff that I do, somebody should pay me for that because it's my business and my business deserves to like be sustainable and thrive. Are we being taken advantage of? Like someone who really, really wants to support you and believes in what you're doing should not be taking advantage of that.
Right.
And if they are, that's an invitation offer that maybe like you look into that. Because now I'm thinking about people who've invited me to barter and I'm like, that was a red flag. Thank you for that.
Definitely. And I do know that we have planned an entire podcast episode around this idea of like working with friends and family and like getting paid for that work and, you know, that what that dynamic could look like, because it's not always a bad thing. But certainly having anyone who works with you pay you regardless of who they are is very, very, very important. And I feel like that's kind of where we want to leave this, right? Is how do we solve this problem of bartering and what do we do about it? The answer is simple. We have people pay you for your work. If someone wants a website from you, you charge them. And if you're not sure what to charge them, go back and listen to, what is it, episode 6, I think?
The one about undercharging?
Go listen to the episode on undercharging. Yes, episode 6, why you keep undercharging as a web designer and how to stop. If you're curious about like, what should I charge them? Go listen to that episode because it's very, very informative. But the answer is not to do it for free. The answer is not to barter for clout and for a shout out or for a testimonial. Get paid for your work. It's okay. You run a business. Get paid for your work.
Oh man, Sam. We just really went there. Hey there, listener. If you enjoyed the conversation Sam and I had today, we invite you to join the Making Website Magic community and continue the conversation with us. We created this space for web designers and developers who want to dig deeper into their businesses with other like-minded people in a way that's encouraging, safe, and brave. Inside the Making Website Magic community, you'll get access to exclusive content like secret podcast episodes, invitations to live virtual events hosted by Sam and I, and opportunities to ask questions and network with potential project collaborators. And it's free. Are you interested? Head on over to makingwebsitemagic.com/community to get started. See you there.
Thank you so much for listening to the Making Website Magic podcast. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. This helps more women just like you find the show. Want to dig deeper into these conversations with us? Head over to the free Tech with Intention community at makingwebsitemagic.com/community.
Remember, you are more capable than you realize. Until next time, go make some website magic.